You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamaria, good morning, Kohana Ross Tokuingawa, and welcome to this week's bits. Each week coming up to the election, our Wire team are focusing on the important issues that our government needs to focus on. Last week, we looked at the environment, and this week, we've focused on the education sector. First up, in the ramp-up for the 2017 election, 95BFM's Jack Marshall spoke to the public to find out how we think our education system is currently.
So how's New Zealand education doing?
I think it's quality education, I'll say that for sure, especially at university, but it should be free.
Yeah.
Education should be free.
And
be budgeting for that.
Do you think any party in particular is kind of going for it? Like Labour's said they're going to do free education.
Yeah, so Labour would be going for it, wouldn't they?
I think there's obviously a student debt problem, which you guys probably feel quite severely. So on that side, I think it's, although I think the education is very good, with it comes an inevitable debt problem. I'm not sure that it's hugely different from many countries in the world where people do graduate and have
a mortgage.
I'd say it's pretty good as long as you're in like the right areas. I don't know, like schools out in the WOPs are questionable at best. So I spoke to someone who dropped out when he was 12 just yesterday.
Oh shit.
So yeah, it's, I don't know, all the education like out wherever, like miles away from Auckland, is pretty questionable, I'd say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In Auckland, I'd say it's a pretty good standard.
Yeah.
But in general, I think like the question should be like what university degree is and what it gives you. I think it's more maybe 5 or 10 years ago, like everyone had to get a degree, like to get somewhere. Whereas now, I think employees and bigger companies are looking more at what you can contribute as a person, rather than just like having some numbers on the paper that says that yes, you have a degree.
Well, I'm no expert. You know, I look at the ratings of the universities, and I think, you know, for a small country of 4 million people, we punch above our weight from a university point of view. I think, what have we got? 3 in the top 100 or something?
Yeah, which is,
you know, which is pretty
bad.
Good. Yeah. You know, what, national launch yesterday was interesting. You know, I think languages are important. Te Reo, I think, I'm not sure what party supports that, but I think that was the Greens and Labour.
Yeah, and do you feel like all the parties really care about education? Is it in their forefront, or is it kind of, you know, the thing we have to do?
I'm not always convinced that when they say things that it is because it is in their forefront. I think they say things because they see a potential pool of voters, and it's very easy to make a statement that will potentially swing people your way.
I'm not sure that a free tertiary education is affordable.
Mm. Did you have a free education?
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I did.
Of course.
But that was in the Halcyon days.
I know, my dad got paid to go to university.
Yeah, exactly.
Reporter Jack then spoke with Derek Winmoth, the director of e-learning, regarding the current state of our education system as an overview.
So is New Zealand doing a good job of educating our population?
Well, I think New Zealand has had a reputation for being right out there in terms of how we work with our young people and our education system. But I think a couple of things have happened in recent years. We've had the ongoing international comparisons, which are obviously taken lots of notice of by politicians and others, showing that we've got an increasing number of people in what they call the long tail. So while the majority of our young people have been well catered for and are right at the front end of a world-class education system, we've got an increasing number in this that are trailing off right to the very low levels of achievement. More concerning is that in recent years, as in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a really concerted effort to try and target those young people and to address their need. But that has, according to the very latest PISA results, resulted in an overall decrease in our achievement. Our achievements have actually been shown to be just dropping somewhat across the board on an average, although the kids represented in that very needy group, the very low-end group, have shown very slight levels of improvement.
Is it kind of a telling sign of the wider kind of things they're going under? So it's more less about the education they're getting and more about the environment they're in, or is it still the education?
Well, I think you've put your finger right on what is a very key issue, and at times like this leading up to elections, it's very easy to lose sight of that because we become very atomised. We focus on education, or we focus on health, or we focus on housing, without actually fully appreciating and understanding that those things are all very connected in a way, because the kids in our schools go home to houses that may or may not be providing them with the warmth and security and protection they need. They may or may not be going and eating the food that they require to sustain their bodies and their growth. They may or may not be being brought up or cared for in a loving and nurturing kind of home environment. And so those, the combination of all those things and other factors as well, are what goes towards watching our young people grow and develop in the way that we'd hope for. Without a doubt, we are overdue for a transformation in our education system.
And so what is the future of education? Like, where do we see education going? Is it in like a lot of e-learning and things like that growing? Like, I'm at university, but I'm also doing courses online for free at Coursera, and I've just got my mum, who's in her 60s, she's doing all these music therapy courses online just for fun. And so are things like e-learning, are they going to take over learning, or are they going to complement traditional learning models?
Well, I think complementary is probably the way to think about these things, because the way I think about it is to look at what actually is the purpose and the nature of schools in the modern environment. And if you think about a lot of what you've just described from your own experience of doing Coursera courses or looking something up to meet the need and requirement as you have it, it kind of highlights where we're at, where our previous thinking about schools and our education system right through to universities could be summarised very much as one of those just in case. Here's a whole lot of stuff that we feel you need just in case you're going to need it in your future. Now that was probably something that served us reasonably well when the body of what was known, human knowledge at the time, was a relatively limited thing, and there you could feel confidently say, well, here's a whole lot of stuff that if you learn it now, you are going to need it into your future. But that's definitely not the case as we look forward. And the move now, and you've exemplified it in what you said, is very much more to learning that is just in time. As I need it, then I will involve myself in learning about it.
What does the next New Zealand government need to do to make sure we have the education to succeed going into this very technological world?
Well, that's a good question, and I think we're seeing in government policies at the moment, or at least in the political parties' policies at the moment, the usual sorts of things that try and attract us to them. So on the one hand, we've got a strong lobby for changing our education system to ensure that our young people have the skills and knowledge to equip them to live and thrive in an increasingly digital and technological world. And there's no doubt that in a little country like New Zealand, we're going to have to lift our game so that we are operating well in that sort of world, particularly as we think of our reliance on a lot of our land-based industries and those sorts of things that incur a lot of cost simply through the transportation of goods and services.
We then heard from National Party's Education Minister Nikki Kaye regarding te reo in schools and what National's plans are for the education system.
Under the existing law, young people have a right to learn te reo. Actually, this helps because, some people will say that there hasn't been the resourcing there, and what we're doing by providing $160 million for young people to have the opportunity to learn a second language, in my view, it's going to lead to more young people learning te reo.
And so also let's talk about national standards. So the National Party is proposing that these get expanded. Do you believe this standardised approach is the right way to lift achievement in primary schools?
I do. I think if we look at what our record is in terms of some of our most vulnerable children, but also Māori and Pacifica students, we've seen huge lifts in achievement. That means that their prospects in life are much improved. And one of the reasons we've been able to lift achievement is we've known where these kids are. I think it's incredible that the Labor Party are saying they're going to scrap national standards without knowing what the system is they're going to replace it with. And we've said, no, we want to do better. We actually want parents to have more information at a more granular detail of how kids are doing. We've got to work with teachers around how we manage that in terms of workload. I'm confident with good investment in ICT tools that we can actually, you know, potentially even reduce the workload. But look, I think it's a really exciting announcement for New Zealand. It's going to lift achievement.
Some are saying, though, that it's quite an assessment-heavy approach and that there's less time for other things, such as other subjects that aren't, you know, those core literacy, numeracy subjects, that it creates less time to focus on a diverse range of learning for these young children.
Well, that's what people have previously said the criticism is of national standards. So the whole point of these announcements is that actually we can build out the tools around National Standards Plus to include other subjects. So actually, you know, one of the whole points of this is to expand out to other subjects. And then the second thing is, if you look at this alongside our language announcement, I think we're showing a very balanced approach. Core foundational skills and numeracy, literacy, digital literacy, but then also investing in our culture.
And so another issue that it's not only primary schools but also secondary schools as well are facing this, that there's, you know, a bit of a teacher shortage and that a teacher has, it's not really a desirable career path. How do we change this?
Well, look, I think if you look at the overall numbers of teachers, we've actually got about right. So people who say that we're massively in short overall, it's not correct. I think we have about 100,000 teachers in New Zealand. What the issue is that we have shortages in particular areas, so science teachers, Auckland and geographical areas. I've announced about $20 million in investment. We had this situation back in 2007-2008 to address this. Everything from voluntary bonding expansion to relocation grants for expats to more scholarships. So, you know, it is a delicate balance because if we go too far the other way and we have too many teachers, then people won't be able to get work.
And lastly, we also spoke to the Deputy Leader of the Opportunities Parties, Jeff Simmons, about their views on the education system.
So what do you see as the main issues facing our education system today?
The big issues with our education system are that we are not preparing our children for the world, the society, the economy of the 21st century. And the other big issue is the gap between rich and poor in terms of educational outcomes. And actually the number one way to solve both of those issues is through investing more in early childhood education. So this is what the international evidence tells us, that we should be investing more in early childhood education because it builds those soft skills that are needed in modern society. So instead of reading, writing and arithmetic, we now talk about, instead of the three R's, we talk about the four C's, you know, creativity, collaboration, critical thinking. And early childhood education prepares people for that. It also helps reduce the gap between rich and poor because that's actually where those gaps develop, is in those early years.
And I also saw that one of your policies is to delay national standards until year six and yet change the way that education is measured quite radically. The other one is to delay NCA until the final year of school. Can you tell me a bit about the reasoning behind those policies?
Yeah, so the New Zealand education system has some of the highest levels of testing and assessment and administration of any system in the world. And there's actually no evidence that it improves performance. What the international experience tells us is that we need to get good quality teachers and just trust them to teach. The reason behind that, again, is because the skills that are needed in a modern society are not really testable. You know, those sorts of soft skills that we're talking about don't get measured by tests. And when you test so heavily, teachers spend a lot of time testing rather than actually doing the teaching, and students spend a lot of time being tested rather than actually learning. So we want to really reduce that level of testing in society. You know, we don't want to delay NCA till the final year. The point is that we want to make sure that everyone leaves secondary school with a qualification. But there's no reason why kids have to be tested three times in three consecutive years for three different qualifications when all that matters is that they leave school with A qualifications.
And so if there was a lot less testing, what sort of measures would be in place to make sure that kids weren't falling behind and could be picked up, that there were areas that they needed to have a bit of extra support in?
That's why we do still need some sort of qualification and some formal testing. So that's why we don't want to get rid of national standards or NCEA entirely. We just want to delay it. But actually, I mean, what the evidence tells us is that the best way to make sure that kids aren't falling behind is to leave it to teachers to do their own form of what they call formative assessments. So instead of trying to have independent objective testing coming from outside with all of the administration that comes with that, you know, teachers test in their own way all the time. And actually, if we have good quality teachers, they will be doing this on an ongoing basis. They'll know where their kids are at and they'll know what their kids need to deal with their own issues.
And what do you think of National's plan to get rid of the decile system and replace that with a more risk-based assessment?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. And certainly the decile system has been a spectacular failure. I mean, we have seen since Tomorrow Schools came in and the decile system was created, we have seen a wholesale, basically white flight, white affluent flight from low decile schools to high decile schools, because people have seen the decile as a proxy for school performance, whereas actually that's not the case. We know that schools right across the board perform pretty similarly. It's just that kids who are going to richer schools tend to come from a more affluent background and therefore, you know, perform better anyway. So we've got this weird vicious circle where, you know, lower decile schools, even though they're performing just as well, sometimes in some cases even better than richer schools, have been hemorrhaging students. And that imposes all sorts of costs on those schools. But fundamentally, this change from a decile to a risk-based system will not change the underlying problem, which is that we're asking schools to compete with each other. That's the Tomorrow Schools model. That's the way the funding works in the education system. And that's the problem that we need to change.
And as I leave you today, this week has been Shemena Smith's last week as News and Editorial Director, and we are going to miss her immensely. Thank you for all of your hard work.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the Bcasts.
That was a 95bfm podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.